Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, how y'all feeling? I'm back, man. You know, it was a sports phenomenon just before. Got the coaching, got the reffing, got to do more things with the people directly, so I got more knowledge. You know, my name is Rod D. Hill. Sports phenomenology. That's where I used to go, by the way, in sports. I was the first dude you knew with a podcast. How about that? All right? How about that? But whatever. Now we got a new platform. What we're doing right now is called the Turnpike. And to be straight up real with y'all, we don't care about nothing else out here in the East Coast. We dictate everything, baby. Philly. New York. Not really New York, but just be serious. But anyway, let's just think about it. All right. So you had the Denver game. You know, Denver, Portland, quadruple overtime, the mountain time zone, Pacific time zone. And what happened in game 7? They got their asses bumped to later on that night. I got time for that bullshit. All right. It's East Coast, big, bad East Coast. So they bumped them to early in the day. They started them off at 3:30 and let the Raptors and the Sixers play later on the night. And that's a Toronto team. So that's how I said, East Coast, we run it. So that's what we're going to do here. I'm going to go over the Knicks, Sixers, and the Brooklyn Nets. Jersey, you know what I mean? So just give people more explanation of it. You're in South Jersey, all you're going to hear is Philly. Once you cross that Trenton line, New Brunswick, all you're going to hear is New York. So if you're not from that place, if you're from New York and you want to save money and live in Philly, or just, you know, just in that general area and transport back, and it's just way cheaper and smarter, you're going to be like, yo, I'm tired of hearing about these losers always bitching and complaining, right? And then if you're from New York, see, man, if you're from Philly and you live up in New York, you know, you're trying to make it, trying to do bigger things. But they whine and complain nonstop about the Jets. Like, who cares about the Jets? My goodness. But that's where we at, you know. We love it. We go back and forth, New York, Philly. You come down, take a nice little trip. Nets, Philly, Sixers, Knicks, Sixers, Nets, Six. You know, football, all that stuff. It's a good time. We talk it. But we're not getting all crazy like the West Coast. I ain't going to shoot you over it. You're a Knicks, New York fan. So what? So what? Philly don't win. Hopefully New York win. Because we both hate Boston. We can agree with that. We both hate Boston. Boston sucks. So I'm just going strictly on the Turnpike. You know, it's the Turnpike. I'm supposed to have a drop right there with music and everything. But whatever. It's the first episode. Give me some time. So let's jump right to it. We're going to start off first with the team that was the last one to leave, which is the Philadelphia 76ers. And being from Philly, South Jersey native, I am a natural Sixers fan. So I am a homer with that. But I'm also the Philly fan, the East Coast fan that love my team, but I always see the negatives of my team more than I see the positives when they're good. When they're bad, I'll be like, oh, man, let me go to every game because I ain't going there. I can chill. I ain't got to worry about all these people and everything. Tickets going up over this bum team. Anyway, so, yes, you call me cheap. Anyway, so basically, let's get straight to it, man. I'm tired of getting around, just beating around the bush. Now, the whole thing with the Sixers is they said, what's team chemistry going to be like? That was the first thing. Team chemistry. Can they really do it? Is it really going to work? Jimmy Butler, all this other nonsense, you know? But the real question is, you made all those trades. You got really 4 all-stars on your team, right? 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, right? But somehow, some way, one guy beat all of them, right? And so that begs the question. That is the real question that we have to do with the Sixers right now. Like, we did the process, we rebuild. Oh, that's great. Stuff didn't work out 100% perfectly. So what? It was a quality rebuild. I mean, whatever. It's a quality rebuild. Whatever. So my question is this. Can this team really get better? Can this team really, really get better? And to be honest with you, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think they might have – the thing with this team is a lot of stuff with them is they have a very, very, very high floor. And it has a lot to do with Embiid. Embiid, he may not be as dominant as he think he is because he's not. He's not dominant. He definitely gets busy, but he's not dominant. That's why I always compare him. He is Patrick Ewing's game. He's the new age Patrick Ewing. He's way more goofier, but, you know, new age Patrick Ewing, not as tough, not as the leader Patrick Ewing is, but he has the mind state and the leadership capacity of Donovan McNabb. Oh, boy. But I don't see this team getting better. So what are you really going to do to get better? Now, if you trade Ben Simmons, you're going to say, we need to do this. We get another guard that can actually shoot. You resign Jimmy Butler, and you do this stuff with Tobias. Whatever you do. And you trade Ben Simmons to get a gunner, basically a guard that can shoot, you know, and then you're going to get rid of JJ, get a defender in that spot. I don't really think that team is going to be get any – I really don't think this team could ever beat a Giannis team. And the whole argument is like, all right, Toronto is going might lose – they're going to lose Kawhi probably. But if Kevin Durant comes over here, I can't see them beating that team. I can't see them beating the Celtics. So where are they really going to get better at? That's the thing. They really don't have this option to get better in the modern age of basketball. This is not the 1900s. Just think about it. When's the last time a dominant center won an NBA title? You got over the last, 20 years? What year is it now? 2019? So since 1999. God damn, that's 20 years. My old ass guy. Damn. All right. Well, anyway, over the last 20 years, right? You got Tim Duncan, about one of them titles, one and a half of them titles. He wasn't truly dominant, you know? You got Shaq, still the most dominant player I've ever seen in my life. Like, they all that stuff about Jordan, it's great. I ain't saying it wasn't. But Shaq, they literally said, we can't keep having you score. So we're going to just keep fouling you. We have no other option. He made people get in the weight room, just like Michael Jordan, just like Kobe. Forget Michael Jordan. Kobe. Kobe was the one that made these superstars get in shape. Just like Shaq made them people get in the weight room, all right? So that's the problem with this is, and Hakeem Olajuwon, if you want to go back a little bit farther. So you got Shaq and you got Tim Duncan. Joel Embiid is not Shaq or Tim Duncan. Period. He's not dominant enough to overtake his inefficiencies on defense. Great defensive player. But every time, late in the game, if you're on a good team, and that's what you're playing against in the playoffs, you need a basket, what are you going to do? Let's run a pick and roll. Trying to pick and rolls, get Joel Embiid in some action. Matter of fact, get him in action with J.J. Redick. That's an easy point every time. So I really don't think this team can get really better than around this thing to that. And let's be honest, too. Jimmy Butler's not good enough to be the leader of your team. It's the last pick in the first round. He's just not good enough. I like Jimmy. He's nice. I like Jimmy. And that's part of the point of how this team can get better. Was the trades for Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris really worth it? Because you can always say they really didn't. They gave up stuff, but it's like, y'all did give up stuff. Most notably that the Miami pick. But you never know what Miami going to do. I never know. And I mean, they got a good coach. They got a good system. Who don't want to play in Miami? It's like a lot of that things. Every year, they always a threat to get a free agency or something. They always got assets on their team. So that's dicey. So when you look at it, what really happened with that whole thing? Basically, they got, like you said, they got Jimmy Butler. So basically you got your closer that you wanted so bad because Brett Brown saw that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons wasn't at that level yet. And Ben Simmons can't shoot, so I don't think he's ever going to be at that level. So whatever. But Embiid, I don't think he's that guy to do that. That's the part of the reason why they had to go get Jimmy Butler. Plus, it's hard to score as a center. Everybody's trapping you. He does a lot of stuff on the top of the key because I think a lot of things – with his post game is mechanical, and I think a lot of people have figured out that smart players, the ones he can physically dominate, he can get by it still. But if he can't physically dominate you, I don't see him being that efficient of a scorer. Thus, Tobias Harris. Let's get to him. Yeah, I'm blaming New York for this. I'm blaming New York for Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris got immense talent, but he don't play hard. He don't want his season to get messed up. He don't want his hairline to get. He don't want to sweat. That's why he wear a headband. He just a little bit too non-aggressive enough. That's all you can say. He's just not aggressive enough. He's not a terrible player. He's not none of that. He's just not aggressive enough. And if you're not aggressive enough, that makes a huge difference in basketball, in life, everything. Especially when you got that kind of skill set to be 6'10 and not aggressive. Somehow, some way, he had Kyle Lowry guarding him. Like, dog, you're 10 inches taller than him. Come on, people. We from Philly and New York. It is, Harley, I know these people are tough. I know we tough. Kyle Lowry, shout out, you know what I mean, Philly. That North Philly, wherever you're from. Whatever, nice thing, whatever the heck he's from. But we do play that way. You know, they are going to get some tough players out of Philly. It's like, all that stuff is going to be true. However, come on, your tennis is tall to him. Who are you tennis is tall to listen to right now that you wouldn't bust their ass in basketball? Just stop it. It's ridiculous. So, the Tobias Harris trade, Jimmy Butler trade, all that was great, and it kind of was worth it because you made a run. I get they didn't really make a run. I don't know what they did, but it kind of was worth it. You got to see different things. You got to see different things how it work out. And it, I mean, I like Landry Shaman, but let's not go overboard. He's fine. He can shoot. He would have made a big difference on his team being able to shoot. But whatever. He's easily made a slot in for J.J. Redick, but it didn't happen. So, and that first round pick of the Heat, that's really it. All the other stuff, who cares? I love Rocco, but Rocco was hurt the whole year, so he had to go. Dario had to go immediately because Dario was like, I think he may be only like 25 age-wise, but his body is like 67. So he had to go. So good time. I'm not too mad at that, but it's just I think it was worth it in one way because then at the end of the day, you didn't pay that much cap space. You didn't cripple your franchise for years with long-term contracts, two-year, three-year contracts with people that had that you traded for. All these people are up this year, so what? If it don't work, just change it over. And just go from there. But it definitely is something that you got to think about. And the thing you think about is, how is this team going to chip? You got a center that can't really move on pick and roll, so you got to be able to, so you can't, you're never going to beat Golden State, and you can't really beat Milwaukee because they're going to stretch you out. So any team that can shoot, which is all the best teams in the league, they're going to beat you. Because basically it's shown that all you need to do to guard Joel Embiid is all those scrubs they used to try to do to guard Shaq, what actually works on him. It actually works. He gets a big, strong scrub that knows his game and can be intelligent. He's going to kill him. It's just disgraceful. And I ain't going to get into him crying all crazy after the game. That's not – and everybody keep acting like that's – how dare you say that? That's toxic masculine. No, it's not. You're a leader of men. How you want somebody to follow you when you go to game seven, not in the doggone conference championship, not in the NBA finals, and you crying and going through all them changes for like 20 minutes? You're crying on the court. You're crying in the back. That's not the same thing as a mad cry. That's not the same thing. That was a devastated cry. That's a different kind of thing. And how you know? How you don't know? Come on, dog. Come on. This is Philly. We don't do that kind of stuff here. No. This is the East Coast, period. Cry out of passion. Cry out of pain. Other than that, stop it. That was neither one. That was devastation. That's ridiculous. He was that devastated. Why don't you stop getting drunk everywhere? So, either way, the main point is he got to go. Joel Embiid has to go. If the Sixers really want a title, he has to go. You get the most for him. He can't play 70 games. He can't play 70 effective games in a season. Great when he's out there, but you got to trade him now. You have to trade him now. Like, maybe I don't know. You got to trade him soon. I know he's that guy. I know he's so personality, and I know that sells money, but if you're trying to win a championship, he has to go. I would definitely build a team around Ben Simmons and have a 6'10 point guard that can guard everybody. It also showed that when you tell him to get off the ball, he did it and still played defense. Granted, Kawhi's way better than him, but he still did it. He got off the ball. He made it so Jimmy Butler, how are you not going to guard a person the same height as you? What's the point of your muscles, Jimmy Butler? So I got a lot of love for Ben Simmons for that, but he definitely can't shoot. And you definitely have other players with him. You know, that's definitely true. I definitely can grant you that. You definitely have other players with him. So with that being said, I just don't think it's going to happen with Embiid. It's just like, come on. What year are we in? How is he going to do that? You're going to put everything through a center that can't post up really and can't really defend the pick and roll, can't get out on the perimeter, and you really going to win a championship in the modern NBA? Yeah, right. Get out of here. And a lot of that change can come up from the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets got money this offseason, and they got a big – thing to think about with D'Angelo Russell, right? You got to figure out what you're going to do with him because, he's good, but he's not great. And his role, like Jimmy Butler, he has the same kind of thing as Jimmy Butler where your role, only time you're going to be as good as you have to be is when you got the ball all the time. And he's really not good enough to have the ball all the time. I mean, shit, they gave the ball to, Spencer Dinwiddie most of the time? Like, he's just not. Like, it's nothing wrong with that. You're just not. So you got Clark again. Hey, just get the ball to Spence. Let's get it done. Keep playing aggressive, you know. But he did his thing. So I'm not going to doubt that he did his thing this year. Way more than I thought he was going to do. I give him a lot of credit for that. But do you pay him? Is he really that guy that you do that with? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I don't think Jimmy Butler is either. But if them two had a trade spots, I wouldn't be mad at that. Both teams, I think, would be better with that. Honestly, I definitely think both teams would be better with that. Because I think that even more with Jimmy Butler. I think if he's on a team, he can shoot more. He might be better. When you got Embiid demanding the ball all the time, you got Ben Simmons. I think the Nets will be more open with that. And they got an excellent coach. Like, let's not forget that. He can coach his behind off. I don't know why I'm forgetting his name right now. And I got it right here, but whatever. 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 So, Kenny Atkinson. I don't know why I blanked on that. But Kenny, that's the whole thing with these three teams, too. The Knicks, the Sixers, the Nets. They all got excellent. They all got good coaches. So, that's not going to be an issue. Oh, man, they ain't coaching well enough. No. That's not an issue. That's not going to be an issue. But what are you going to do with D'Angelo? Like, you got to wait until you get Kyrie. You can't sign. You can't do anything until you know what you're going to do with Kyrie. And if you get that, then you can go from there. Because then they got a lot of players that don't dribble anyway. So that can work. You know? Joe Harris with a Kyrie Irving demand. If he did all that with Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell doing all that, committing all that attention, he still got busy. I think he'll do even more with Kyrie. Well, Kyrie don't pass the ball, but I think he still can do a whole lot more with that. And that'll be a good fit there. I think that'll be a good fit. He's still a gunner. I don't know how he will handle New York media, but I think being with the Nets versus being with the Knicks will help him out a lot. And my man, Riley Kirkos, whatever his name is, Radonis Kokoroff. His name is Rade, all right? That's my homie right there. He sucks, but he's good. You know, he's one of them people. They got a lot of people on this team that can fill out a roster. Not necessarily a starter. They got a lot of people that can fill out rosters on this team. But the main person I will say, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, and Rade. Caris LeVert, Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson, I don't know what he does anymore. Like, yeah, you try that thing, it's just not going to work. What does he do? Can't guard nobody or anybody. He can't guard anybody. He can't shoot. He just jumps around. So he got to go. Yeah, whatever. Do not sign him as a restricted free agent. But you tender him to see what happens. But I definitely would let him go. That's peace out, homie. But Joe Harris is my guy. I like Joe Harris a lot. Even at Davis. That Davis put in some work. But Jared Allen, Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, you throw Kyrie Irving in there, and, you know, get a couple defenders and wings and another big man. You got a good team. That's a good team because Kyrie's a little bit different than fitting in with the same role as Isaiah Thomas. Kyrie doesn't move off the ball. He's a star ball hog gunner, you know, old school ball hog gunner from the 90s. So he doesn't really do all the other stuff like Isaiah Thomas would do or Steph Curry would do. They'll pass the ball, sprint out there, relocate, get the shot off. He got to dribble these 9 times where he can shoot. And he's such a great shooter and he's such a great scorer that it's hard to say, like, oh, yeah, pass me the ball. You don't have a better chance scoring him because he's sick. But he's also selfish and just, that whole Boston thing, which I was on the podcast and I told people that before, like, this is just not going to work. It's too many personalities on the team. However, like I said, with Brooklyn, the Knicks might be too much for him because he's too much of a dick. He always responding to stuff. So that might be too much for him. But I think Brooklyn, nice little sweet spot for him. You know, nice little sweet spot. Where they trying to, that would just build their brain up so much back to where it was a couple, you know, about 10 when it first came over to Brooklyn. And I think this, like, now they got more of a sustained fan base. They made it. They still ain't got the best fan base, but you know what I mean. Like, it can work. I don't know about the getting Kevin Durant and all them other people, but whatever. I think that'd probably be the best fit. And after that, you just fill the roster out. Just fill the roster out. You might even bring Brook Lopez back. How about that? How about that? Let's stretch it out. Let's go, Brooke. We paid enough money for nothing, so you should have no problem coming back. You should have no problem coming back. So the next question really has to be addressed with is, and this goes D'Angelo Russell too. Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, Rade Kukrat. I keep saying it. Whatever. You know, Rade. My man Rade. Whatever. You know what I mean. All right. Jared Allen, how good are they really? Are they actually good or they just played a whole bunch of minutes? Because a lot of people, they play a whole bunch of minutes, put up stats, and no matter what, like they say in the NBA, somebody going to score 100 or 90 points, no matter what happens, you're going to score 90, maybe 100. So anybody, some of the scrubs going to score. So that's the interesting part about them is how good are they really individually? Jared Allen, you know, he's a center that's a starting center, but he got to gain a lot of weight this summer, get stronger. But he can do that. He ain't that old, so he can easily do that. You know, he's only 2 years in. He can easily do that. I don't know if his body, his frame look like he can, but, you know, stuff happens. We'll see what happens with that. So you got Jared Allen. I think he's about The rotation play. He ain't no, he's a starter, but he's not a starter star. He's a starter that doesn't get starters minutes. He's one of them type players. Spencer Dinwiddie is a starter, but the role they got him in is perfect. Perfect. He can play off the ball, he can play on the ball, and you put him with Kyrie, I think that would work. Kyrie don't play on defense either. So I think him and Spence, that would be a nice little hand, tandem. Because they both can shoot off without dribbling, too. You know, Kyrie doesn't want to, but they both can do that off without dribbling. Kick it out, bang. Joe Harris, I think Joe Harris does what he does. When you ask him to do too much, that's he can't do all that. And that's why they need more defensive wings. They need some big wings. They need some defensive players, too. Get a big defensive center. Get some wings in there that can actually defend. Yeah, they don't have to be able to do too much. Defend. Y'all just need a couple minutes. You can throw people on there that can defend, because that's a problem. That's the problem. They can't really defend. They can't be able to score, but, man. Caris LeVert, he's another one. Like, he showed a lot of promise this year, and then he destroyed his leg. But, you know, I think he's going to be okay. He might not be a starter. He might be a six-man, but he might be a six-man. And not saying he has the same type of game as him, but he might be a six-man like Iguodala, where he's closed out the games, doing stuff, being that third ball handler, because you got Kyrie, Spencer in there. They the two best perimeter defenders going to guard them. So, Caris, you know, he might be able to get busy with that. So, I can see that working. Got to learn how to play a little bit better D, but I can definitely see that working. Like I said, D'Angelo, try to get Kyrie first. Go all out to get Kyrie. Then after that, if we can't, you know, fuck it. Let's settle for him. Hey, in the world, what are you going to do? You restrict the fridge anyway. What are you going to do? Nothing. Exactly. Nothing. But let's take a break real quick for our sponsors. You know, we got one. Let me be real. We got one sponsor. And you can go follow them on Instagram. His name is D-A-T-R-O-O-F 1829 Art. The Truth 1829 Art. You need any art, anything with your, anything. It art everywhere, damn it. You can get shirts, you can get like your business cards, you need a mural, you need anything that has to do with art. That's where you need to go. Any creative aspect you need to do. Hey, if you ain't trying to get too funky with it, just get something basic that kind of gets that out. Well, educated man, check him out. That's D-A-T-R-O-O-F 1829 Art. The Truth 1829 Art. Check him out. Thank you for being a sponsor. Thank you. So let's get back to it, man. And the last one we're doing. I'm telling you, last one we're doing right now. We got to say the best for last, you know, the damn New York Knicks. Now, like I said, I'm a Philly guy. Spent a lot of time in Jersey, though. Grew up in Jersey. And when you in Philly, they don't really worry about New York. You in Philly. As soon as you cross the bridge of Jersey, they love New York. And they growing up in the 90s, what, in Philly, in the South Jersey? All you hear about, oh, man, New York, we got rail rappers. All y'all guys are roots. They don't even like shooting people. What? That's y'all argument? Jesus Christ. Whatever. So that was rough back then. But whatever. We get past it. We move on. So let's get to the Knicks, man. The Knicks is like one of the saddest franchises in the history of sports. That's supposed to be the mecca of basketball. And they've been disrespected for years. Years. Like I said, Joel Embiid, the new age Patrick Ewing, tried his hardest. Just too damn clumsy. But he wasn't no punk, though. Ewing wasn't no punk. Embiid, But Ewing wasn't no punk, though. He's just clumsy. He's just stinking clumsy. He's just come on, man. You ain't even trying to look hot out here. Like, you play, with Deion, you play well. You look well, you play well. That year was not into that. He was like, just get it, you know? So that's the thing. I have a big problem with the Knicks. What's going on with that, big? What's really good with that, man? Why can't they actually get a good team? It just cannot be that hard. They had like a year with Melo. Everybody blames verticality. Best friend New Yorker. I got a lot of good New York friends. Everybody blames verticality. I already lost the Pacers. You can't do a pull-up jump shot? Jason Kidd, you going to go 0 for 30? Whoa, baby. Can't be doing that, son. Just can't be doing that. So where are they going to go now? Where are they going to go now? So the main thing we got to discuss is who's actually good on this team? Who's a winning player? What are you trying to win? Who's a winning player? Who's a winning player? Got a third pick in the draft. All right. I like R.J. Barrett. I like R.J. Barrett. But that third pick in the draft, it's like, are you trying to win? What is y'all platform? How are y'all trying to win? When are y'all trying to win? If you're trying to win now with the next, you know, 2-3 years, or with it being the playoffs next year, you got to trade that pick, and you got to trade Kevin Knox. I would trade both of them and just go from there. Because I think Kevin Knox, I don't think he's mentally aware enough to ever get good. Like, the baseline where he's starting at is so far down for awareness. I don't know if it's ever going to work. I really don't know. Excellent athlete, but it definitely looks like he got by his whole career on being the best athlete and not actually being, actually knowing what's going on. He's 6'8", 6'9". What is somebody going to stop you? Wouldn't you ever get somebody to stop you until now? I don't think you ever even, like, he had a lot of Derrick Rose look to him. Like, have you read a book before that wasn't, whatever. I'm getting a bit rude. Sorry about that. But I don't know. He just makes me very nervous with that. Very nervous. Very nervous. Dennis Smith Jr. What are you going to do with him? Another one. Is he really good? I have no idea. I have no idea if he's good or not. And that's dicey. Because he's so young and explosive and all that other stuff. But I have no idea if he's good or not. I have no clue if he's good or not. It looks like a bootleg Steve Francis now. That's pretty trash. That's pretty trash. I ain't got some stuff, but that's pretty trash. And that getting him extra minutes late in the season, was he really playing well? He's just getting a whole bunch of minutes. That's where I'm stuck up there. Lance Thomas, you got to go. So with all that being said, my guys on this team that I really like, Mitchell Robinson is nice. He's another one. He's a starting center. And you're like, well, you said you had a problem with Joel Embiid. Well, he ain't demanding the ball all the time either. And you can get him off the court. And he's not that key of a problem where he got to stay on the court. No, you can get him 25 to 30 minutes a game and just tell him, look, man, block everything. Defend that paint with your everything. And he'll do that. And you need that. You definitely still need protection at the rim. And then when somebody go too small, then take him out. It's not hard. But he can actually move his feet a little bit better. And that dunk, that alley-oop he did when he turned back, because that is some freakish mess. Like his coordination, body control. And remember, he didn't go to college last year, so I think that's like a big steal they got. That's like the new Porzingis thing. Like, that was a good pick. And Knicks is always good for that. That's second round, late first round. They always get some good picks, usually. It's just the person they think going to be good. It'd be trash. But that usually is a good pick. So I really do like Mitchell Robinson. Alonzo Trier. I don't know what the hell he is. He's a gunner. Good New Yorker. He threw up some BS, but he got hurt too. That's another thing with him. He got hurt with the ankle injury. And everybody know you play basketball. When you get certain injuries, yeah, you back on the court and you don't use it as an excuse. You don't. You play ball. But you know you ain't 100%. You know you're not 100%. And you know it affects your shot. I broke my left wrist. Couldn't shoot for like a whole summer. I was like, what's going on? I can't really bounce the ball really. So it was all one-handed really. So, and then when I did pick my, it just was weird. So I definitely do get that. Like, it's just some things are just weird. It's hard you hold the ball. Everything got to change because it's sharp pain. You get everything's just weird. So I could definitely give him more of a pass because he got skill and he definitely showed that he can get a shot off against anybody out there. He definitely showed that. So you got to give him some credit for that. But that's basically a new age John Starks that which needs to come off the bench. He's a bench player. And I don't even think he's a bench player. He's a player every game either. You know? But other than that, who else even matters on the team? Moutier? Frank Nicolina? Nakina? Wherever? Come on. They all suck. It's worth a chance, though. Emmanuel, Frank, and Dennis. All was supposed to be, you know, what's that? 2015, 2017. All top picks. Like, they was top 10 picks, and they were supposed to be something. Well, Frank was different. But Frank was always a very intriguing prospect. But Frank is only going to be good if you got him next to a real gunner. Hey, even then, he got to get his awareness up. Like, he should develop a little bit more by now. But we'll see. Like, I mean, second year, he didn't look that good, buddy. He did not look that good. But his natural ability is something that, what's going to happen? Let's see what happens. So, But he sucks. Man, he sucks. Like, he can't dribble. How you a point guard, you can't dribble? That's a major problem.